Good morning.
Morning.
It's good to see everybody here. The Greenways, Miss Kathy Holmes, it's so good to see you as well. And our visitors there in the back. So thank you all for being here. And of course, everybody else who's normally here. thank you all for being here. It's such a great time. We have just got back from, of course, my nephews and niece. Can't forget them, of course. They stayed here a little bit longer. We went to Palmetto Bible Camp this past week, and I think it was a pretty good week. It was the theme you might be able to see is on James's shirt there. Don't make him stand up. But if you get a chance to look at him and spot him, that's the shirt that they wore that they got from camp there. So he's wearing that, and it's the theme of even if, and it is taken from Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. The idea, even if the world is against me, even if bad things happen to me, even if this, that, or the other, I will still serve the Lord. No matter what happens, we will still serve the Lord. If you remember the instance there in Daniel chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in this impossible situation. They were told that they had to bow down and worship this idol. They were in this foreign land. They had to bow down and worship this idol, or they would be sent into the fiery furnace. And the key phrase, and the phrase that I absolutely love, is the one that was a theme for this passage for the week. The idea that, yeah, I am going to, it doesn't matter what you say, the Lord is able to deliver me. But even if he doesn't, I will not serve your God. I will only serve the true God. And that's powerful, isn't it? Doesn't matter what happens to me, I will still serve the true God. Well, the camp has different teachers, different preachers that come in during the week and teach classes to the kids and preaches worship services in the evening. And I was assigned a particular topic. They asked me to preach, and I gladly volunteered. And you're going to get that lesson today. And the thing is, it's going to be a little bit different because I was talking to teenagers and to kids. So it's going to be a little bit different for y'all because the audience is different. But the idea, the theme I was given was, or the topic for that sermon was, even if I lose my family. Even if I lose my family. The day before was, even if I lose my friends. The day after was, even if the world hates me. The day after, even if I lose my life. And I'm sure I'm missing one in there somewhere. But those were the themes for that particular, for each night, the topics for each night for the sermons. Even if I lose my family. Turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. We'll look at that one, that passage in a moment. There are a few phrases as I was putting this together, a few phrases I was trying to think of in order to best illustrate this. Certain ideas that we have in our culture, different sayings that exist, and in terms of how important family is. Blood is thicker than water. Have you heard that phrase before? Blood is thicker than water. The second one, friends come and go, but family is forever. And the third, family is everything. You know, these three phrases we might use from time to time to show how important our family is and those familial connections that we have with our parents, with our children, with our brothers and sisters, with our cousins, and who knows who else you might have in your family that you're close to. Blood is thicker than water. And all these people in our family are souls, right? In need of salvation. And what the Bible says about these phrases is that there is some merit to them. There is some merit to them. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17:17, a friend loves at all times, but a brother is born for adversity. A friend loves at all times, and that's great, having friends. But a brother is born for adversity. You have brothers and sisters and people willing to help you through thick and thin, through the difficult times. And that's wonderful. That's a great thing to have, so that you can rely on such people in your life, if you have brothers and sisters. But even then, it speaks to the importance of friends. And Proverbs 18:24, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. But there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Sometimes we have friends that are closer to us than even our own family, we find in Scripture here. And sometimes it even talks about how friends can be better. In Proverbs 27 and verse 10, do not forsake your friend or your father's friend, nor go to your brother's house in the day of your calamity. Better is a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. My brother's about 3 hours away from me. If I'm broken down on the side of the road, who am I going to call? Am I going to call one of you guys, or am I going to call my brother 3 hours away? Well, I'm going to call one of y'all, right? But don't get it twisted. We still have to choose our friends wisely. Proverbs 12:26. The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Proverbs 13:20. He who talks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Proverbs 14:17. Go from the presence of a foolish man when you do not perceive in him the lips of knowledge. If he's talking foolish talk, you might need to leave. You might need to leave, because that can influence you, right? But then there are other phrases that we have in our that talk about this kind of thing. You can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. With your friends, as the saying, one of the earlier sayings is, friends come and go, but family is forever. You can pick your friends. You can choose them and say, hey, I like that person. I'm going to spend more time with them. You can pick your friends. You can't always pick your family, can you? You can't choose who your parents are. You can't choose who your kids are. As much as you try to mold them and raise them up in the right way, you can't control who they are. You can't control their personalities or sometimes what they do. You do your best as a parent, but there's still that free will that's involved there, right? You can't pick your family. You don't know, I think about my kids, and my daughter didn't choose to be firstborn, but she is. Asa didn't choose to be the youngest so far, but he is. Seth didn't choose to be the middle. We have all these, they didn't make these choices, but that's how it shakes out. That's how it happens. So what happens then if you become a Christian? Or if you are a Christian and your family is not supportive of that decision, your family is not supportive of this kind of situation, of your choice to follow after God. Well, we find that in Matthew chapter 10, verses 34, starting in verse 34. Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Man. Jesus tells us that's going to happen. That we will have enemies in our house because of Christ. Does everyone have that situation? No, I suppose not. But many of us do. Have enemies in our own house because we serve the Lord and they do not. Or maybe they would like to serve the Lord, but they fail time and time again to the extent that it's destructive. Of course, there are different levels. Most families in our Western culture will be tolerating. We'll tolerate your choice to become a Christian. We'll tolerate that for a while until they realize what that means. You can't do this. You can't do that. I'm going to go to worship. I can't go to the park today. I've got to worship God. different things like that. They won't understand. They won't care. They won't help. And some might even try to undermine your faith. I remember I had a cousin who would always ask my brother and me, "Hey, are y'all Christians?" And of course we would say yes. And my brother came to me later and said, "You know, she was asking not because she wanted to make sure that we were saved, but to make sure that she wasn't going to say something that would get her in trouble." So we have those kinds of things in our family sometimes, and you don't even realize it often. There are three points this morning. Even if I lose my family, God is there. Even if I lose my family, I will be faithful. And finally, even if I lose my family, I will gain a new one. I will gain a new one. The first point. Let's turn to Psalm 27. Psalm 27 is just, I came across this in regular reading while I was putting this together, and it just popped out at me, because of verse 10. "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." Who is closer to us, especially when we're growing up? Who is closer to us than our parents? Well, maybe brothers and sisters, but who takes care of us? Our parents do, right? They look after us, make sure we're fed, make sure we have a roof over our heads, things of that nature. They take care of us. But if they should leave us, if they should forsake us, the Lord will take care of us. It can be rather lonely, especially if you're in a family and nobody else is a Christian, and you're trying to serve the Lord, you're doing your best to serve Him. You know, you can't leave those people. You can't leave them. Seems rather lonely. We go to a home where the only one to follow Christ, or the only one to follow Him faithfully. You know, it's great when you go to worship or to events that involve other Christians, because you're surrounded by people who believe. You're surrounded by believers, and that's a wonderful thing, and that wonderful experience that you get to have. And we really miss that a lot this past year with the pandemic, not being able to experience that, the being around others as much. But then you go home. You are alone, no support from your family, no help. That loneliness can get hard, can get very difficult for us to deal with. Not only that, we have our brothers and sisters who might not be faithful, and man, you want to hang out with them, you want to hang out with family, you want to be able to spend that time with them, reminisce, but then things turn to religion or spiritual matters, and things can get ugly if you even get to spend that time with them. Things can get ugly. They might say things like, "You think you're better than us? Who do you think you are?" I was trying to tell my parents about some of the stuff that I found out in the scriptures, and they would say things like, "You're just a kid. What do you know? Oh, you'll find out when you're older." Instead of addressing the question, instead of addressing the issue, they brushed it under the rug. And they thought I wasn't where I needed to be. And maybe I wasn't. Maybe I didn't have the right attitude. I don't know. But it needed to be addressed. Those things needed to be dealt with. And they weren't. But it could get worse. It could always get worse. Through it all, we have a psalm like Psalm 27. And let's go ahead and read a good chunk of that. Let's look at Psalm 27 and read this whole thing, because it is such an amazing psalm. If you are ever stuck in this situation and you feel like your family is against you entirely, Psalm 27 is perfect. Psalm 27 is perfect. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence, I would have lost heart, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Didn't we have a sermon about that a few weeks ago? Isaiah 40, verse 31. They who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Wait on the Lord. If I had thought about this verse, I would have cited this verse for that sermon as well. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You know, we see sort of this adversarial language here in Psalm 27. The idea of your enemies coming up against you and overtaking you. Man, far be it for our family members to become our enemies, but wait, didn't we read that in Matthew chapter 10? Our enemies will become those in our own household. Did David have enemies in his own family? The writer of this psalm, did he have enemies in his own family? Oh, sure he did. Absalom came up against him, his son, to try to overtake and usurp the throne. Chased him away off to the other side of the Jordan for a while until he finally came back and was able to take care of him. Yeah, he had family against him. He had family against him, surely. As far as we know, his parents seem to have been faithful. But we do know that his sons, or at least one of them, was not. Jesus himself says that he came not to bring peace, but a sword. Even here we are assured, though, in this psalm, that we are assured that even when our parents forsake us, and we can input in anyone who's very close to us, especially in our own family, anyone who is in our own family who is close to us, even if they forsake us, what will the Lord do for us? He'll take care of us, won't he? He'll take care of us. I don't know what that will look like. But there is a promise there that he will look after us and take care of us. He is there to look after his own. And we are, it says in verse 6, to offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle and sing praises to the Lord. Now, we don't offer animal sacrifices today like they did back then, but we still offer the sacrifice of praise, do we not? We still offer different sacrifices of our own selves. We still offer, in some sense, the sacrifice of the Lord. We remember that sacrifice at the very least in the taking of the Lord's Supper. So we worship. We worship and we sing to the Lord, something that we can do to help in times of stress. He says, teach me, in verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. take care of me. Teach me the right way so that I can do the right thing and follow that right path. Teach me, Lord. He assures us that he will take care of us. So let's be faithful to him. Even if I lose my family, God is there. So let's be faithful to him. In the next point here, Matthew chapter 10, back in Matthew chapter 10, and in verse 37, Jesus continues in this passage here, and he says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." We have to be willing to forsake all to follow our Lord. Our environment is not always going to make that easy, especially if you are living with those who are unfaithful or who are not Christians at all. It can be very disheartening. It can be very disheartening. It's not easy. They might use foul language. They might be ugly to one another. There might be drinking. There might be drugs involved. I don't know what all the situations are that some of you have come from or involved in. I know some to some extent, obviously, but it can be very difficult dealing with all those things. And it's very easy to fall into those similar habits. If you see it around you, it's very easy to do that. We need to be able to come to worship. If we can make it to worship, because especially if you're a kid and your parents aren't faithful, it can be difficult to make it to worship. But we need to find a way. Make sure that we are here so that we can get that encouragement. As we saw in Psalm 27, we need to make those sacrifices of praise. We need to be able to sing to the Lord. We need to be able to be taught the way of God. And the best place to do that is in worship. The best place to do that is in worship. We should always, if we're in that situation, obey our parents. I'm not saying that's always going to be easy either. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, "Children ought to obey their parents, treat them with honor and respect." Again, not always easy. If they're being unreasonable or if they are trying to keep you from doing the faith, from following the faith, doing the word of God, doing what the will of God is. And in fact, if they are outright trying to prevent that, well, we're told to obey God rather than men, right? In Acts chapter 5, verse 21, or 29 rather. But even so, do what we can to tell them and to convince them to do what's right and to follow after God. That's not always going to be easy. We need to be we need to say things like that with honor and respect and follow after the Lord. And for those of us with other family who may not be faithful, with sons or daughters or brothers or sisters, that's not easy either. We need to be gentle with them as best as we can, but even so, there may need to be a level of harshness to it as well. A level of firmness, certainly. Gentle but firm. Hey, this is the right way, and we need to go this way. In fact, isn't that what the scriptures say about what an admonition is? It's a gentle but firm rebuke. A gentle but firm rebuke, a warning. To make sure that we are on that right path, we need to make sure that we have the proper dedication to follow after him. Because Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62, that there are some issues there as well. That in those passages, they want to follow after God. Please help me. I want to serve you. But then he says, you know, there's no place for me to lay my head. Are you willing to make that sacrifice? Then he says a little bit later on in Luke chapter 9, there are places let me go bury my father first. Well, that sounds like a reasonable request, but his father's still living. His father's still living. And so he's waiting for his father to die before he will serve the Lord. Should we wait for things like that? we need to make sure that we do not allow ourselves to take our hand from the plow. We need to put our hand to that plow, and that's what Jesus says there in that passage. He who puts his hand on the plow and removes it is not worthy of the kingdom. We need to follow after him and put our hand on that plow and keep going. Continue to be faithful and to follow after him. Faithfulness is hard on its own, isn't it? Without the influence of others trying to get you down. Faithfulness is difficult on its own, but we need to follow after the Lord and do what he wants us to do. We need to do what he wants us to do. If you can't make it to worship, find a ride. I know our brother Art does that. He can't make it to worship on his own, but he finds a ride. And that's a great thing. We've given rides to others who are willing to come to worship, who want to worship with us. We want to make sure that we can do that for you. We need to make sure that we are polite, kind, but persistent in our desire to do what's right. Because if we're not, we might turn others away. We need to do things in a loving manner. And if they are going to be our enemies, it's not going to be because of us, but it's going to be because of the Lord. If they're going to be our enemies, it's going to be because of the Lord, because of what he wants us to do. You can't look back. You can't look back. You've got to put your hand to the plow. Make sure that you are going in that right direction and continue with that dedication. Believe me, the prize is worth it. But you don't have to believe me either. The scriptures tell us how beautiful heaven must be. And that prize is most certainly worth it to follow after him. Even if we've lost our family, what have we gained? How much have we gained? If I lose my family, God is there. He will take care of us. If I lose my family, I will be faithful. And finally, if I lose my family, I will gain a new one. Turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Man, I love this passage right here. Peter says that in verse 28. See, we have left all and followed you. We have left all and followed you. We've left everything. Now, we know the story of Peter up to this point. Peter is a fisherman. And he has left his job to follow after Jesus. He's left his family for days, weeks, months on end in order to follow after Jesus. He's left a lot to follow after him. How is he going to take care of his family? Man, he doesn't know. He doesn't know how he's going to take care of his family, but he follows Jesus on faith. And somehow, at least we don't read about his family suffering in any way, or at least not in terms of their needs. Jesus comes back, though, and says in verse 29, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the age to come eternal life. Man, there's that possibility of losing family because of our faithfulness, because we want to follow after God and do his will. There could be that problem of losing family, houses, in our own houses, our brothers, sisters, and our parents, our children, our spouse. There's that possibility. But and we leave it for the sake of Christ and for the sake of the gospel. Man, for the sake of the gospel, how important is that gospel to us? How important is that gospel to us? We talk about obeying the gospel. Sometimes obeying the gospel means we've got to follow after God even when no one else will. We've got to follow after God even when we have all these things against us trying to turn us from one direction to the other. Follow that gospel. How important is Jesus to us? Let's follow after Jesus. Think about what he gave up for us. what he gave up for us. He gave up his life. He gave up more than that. He gave up heaven to come down here to live as a human being. He gave up heaven itself to come down here and to live as a man. And then, even then, he came down to die as a criminal. What was he willing to give up for us? How can we keep anything from him? The loss we experience for the gospel's sake or for the sake of Christ is nothing compared to what we gain, even on this earth. Do you see that? Whoever loses these things shall receive 100-fold now in this time and in the age to come eternal life. Man. In this age, in the time that we have here on this earth, we will gain so much from being a Christian. The moment you become a Christian, the moment you are baptized into Christ, what do you gain? You might have lost an earthly family, but you gain a spiritual family. Man, I have so many fathers, mothers, grandparents, brothers and sisters all over the country, all over the world even. I have, especially in places where I've lived for a while, in North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Florida, places where I've lived, places where I've visited, in Africa, in all sorts of places where I've been. I have family. And even the places that I haven't been, I have brothers and sisters I haven't met yet all over the world. So much to gain. And those people would give me the shirt off their back if they needed it. And I would for them as well. If they needed any help, I would do what I can to help them. We can rely on each other to help us through thick and through thin. But it's not just what you gain in this life. It's what you gain in the next one. It's what you gain in the next one. Because you might be suffering here on this earth, even with all the family, the new family you've had. But you have the family in heaven. You have the amazing things in heaven that is waiting for us. We talked about that a little bit already. While we gain a spiritual family, we also gain eternal life with that family. What a blessing. One day, I'm going to meet the Apostle Peter. I'm going to be like, what was it like to see Jesus feed the 5,000? What was it like to see Lazarus raised from the dead? What was it like to have your shadow heal people as you're walking by? What was it like to have all these things happen? On the other hand, I might just be looking toward God and praising him the whole time. How amazing and how wonderful is that? What a blessing. Not only that, but there are brothers and sisters who have long since passed that I look forward to seeing again, talking with them and spending that time with them. But I don't want to neglect one phrase that's in this passage as well. It says, with persecutions. That doesn't mean this life is going to be easy. That doesn't mean this life is going to be a breeze. Even with our newfound family, there will still be trouble. There will still be trials and struggles and problems in this life. But what does James chapter 1 verses 2 and 3 say? That we need to rejoice in tribulation. Take all joy in the struggles and the trials and the tests that we have in this life. For all such testing of your faith produces patience. And we find in Romans chapter 5, it's very similar there, verses 3 and 4. The struggles produce perseverance, which is another word for patience in that context. Patience builds character, and that character builds hope for salvation. A hope that does not disappoint. Man, the struggles that we have in this life end up helping us in the long run. Even the terrible things, if we use it in a way that glorifies God, it can help us get to heaven. That's not easy to hear, especially when you're going through it. but it's such a beautiful thing. Such a beautiful thing. While we gain so much, Jesus doesn't want us to forget that while we have that we will have to endure much in this life in order to follow after him. But we need to take comfort in our new family, keep our hand to the plow, and know that the Lord is there looking out after us. Even if I lose my family, God is there, and I will be faithful, and I will gain a new family. So let's revisit some of those old phrases that we looked at the beginning of this lesson, at this sermon. Blood is thicker than water. Let's try to rephrase that. Why not? The blood of Jesus is thicker than water. Our family connections with our loved ones, with our friends and our brothers and sisters in Christ, is much stronger than anything we could have in this life, or should be. Friends come and go, but family is forever. How about this? Friends come and go, but the Lord is forever, and his church through him. How about family is everything? Why not Christ is everything? Christ is everything. And not just Christ, but the ones he died for. As Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 says, that he purchased the church with his own blood and gave himself for her. We are the purchased of God. We've been purchased with his blood. He died for us, for our salvation, so that we can follow after him, so that we can be one with him. Christ is everything. And his church is not far behind, because the church is his body, isn't it? The church is his body. So let's look out after each other. Let's take care of those in our family, in our spiritual family. And if we are in the position to take care of others, we ought to do that. And if we need to be taken care of, let people know, hey, I need some help. I need some help. Let's take comfort in him. If your family, if your biological family has turned on you, well, it won't always be like that. Sometimes, especially right after you become a Christian, sometimes they turn on you real quick. Sometimes they let up. That's possible. That's possible. And sometimes they don't. Sometimes they don't. So let's follow after him regardless of what man does. Because mankind, we are finite. You're not going to get to heaven or hell because of anything I've done, but because of what you've done and because of what Christ has done. So follow him and obey him. We can't blame it on other people. We must look to him and follow him. Perhaps your family will be converted one day. That's a possibility. So we need to make sure that we treat them with the honor and respect that they need to have. But while you're going through your hardships, remember, God is still there. He loves you, and he cares about you. Remember to be loving and respectful, but also persistent, to be faithful to him. And remember to rely on your spiritual family to help you through the difficult times. Remember to follow after the Lord and rely on your fellow Christians. They may fail you. They may. We're men. We're people. We may fail you. But the Lord won't. So rely on him. And if we can help you, man, we'll do what we can. This morning, we always have a chance to serve the Lord, to obey that gospel of Christ and to follow after him. I encourage you, if you need to obey that gospel this morning, it's not going to be an easy road. We talked about that there will be persecutions, there could be struggles, but the man, being a Christian is a great job, and it has an awesome retirement plan. Right? I know our sister Pam wears that shirt sometimes. I think I may have misquoted it, but that's the idea, right? The life of a Christian is a great life. There may be persecutions, but in the end, man, that retirement plan is fantastic. And that's heaven. So I encourage you, if you need to become a Christian this morning, to become a Christian. Follow after him. We need to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe in him. Have faith. Repent of our sins. Confess his name and be baptized for the remission of our sins so that our sins can be washed away. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. And now, why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Follow after him. Man, do that today. That you won't regret that choice. You may have trials and struggles, but you're not going to regret it. Please do that this morning if you need to. And if you've done that already and you need to repent and turn back to him, put that hand back on the plow, I encourage you to do that as well. Your family is here. We all are rooting for you. We all want you to get to heaven. Make the right choice this morning. Come forward as we stand and as we sing.